You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Crotty should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Crotty may change at any time. It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Crotty, 10-2 on 670. The
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air. It's game two of this best of three National League wild card series. And today they can win the series with a victory over the Padres.
Hope is alive in Chicago.
Andrew Kittredge on the mound. Here's a drive into deep right field. Back goes Suzuki. He'll make the catch, but a run is going to score. San Diego leads 1-0. Left-hander Shota Imanaga will take over on the mound.
Yeah. There's no way he's getting through this game without giving up a home run.
Machado's 0 for 2. Here's the pitch. He swings, drills one deep to left. Going back half at the track near the wall. Looks up. And Machado has gone yard. A two-run job. And San Diego now up 3-0 over the Cubs.
Good job on that, buddy.
San Diego brings in the hard-throwing right-hander Mason Miller.
From Mason Miller. About as fast as a human being has ever thrown a baseball.
He's a freak. He's a basketball.
The pitch on the way. A ground ball to short. Scooped up by Bogarts, goes to second. One over to first. Double play. So the Padres have forced a third and final game, and it's coming up tomorrow.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ooh, boy, just like that, we have ourselves an elimination game. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. We are broadcasting to you live from Gallagher Way as we get you ready for the deciding game three of the wild card series between the Cubs and the Padres. You can hear that game right here, of course, on 670 The Score. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. We want to take your calls, by the way, at 1040. Join us if you want to vent, 312-644-6767. You can also text us. We will be able to read your texts as well. When we have breaking news, it's brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. You can see us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our video team is in effect. Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. We are live here thanks to our engineers, C.S. Henderson and Rich Wyatt. They are both here. Rich is waving. Ray Diaz is in the house as well. Robbie Triano is back in the studio. And when I consider what we saw yesterday, the decision to pitch to Manny Machado will be the deciding managerial point of the game in the fifth inning. And while I think that that is something we absolutely have to discuss, given that we gave Craig Counsell his flowers the day before to be able to win game one, Padres take game two, as we discussed, by a final of 3-0. The Cubs offense manages only 4 hits in the ball game, and that is part of my issue with this as well. I hate the fact that we talk about something that should have been the difference maker in the game when it comes to the idea of leaving Shota Imanaga in to throw to Manny Machado, or the fact that they didn't walk him when they had a base open. And instead, we're also talking about this game because even though that did happen, even then, if you had taken that away, one run by the Padres would have won them this game the way the Cubs were hitting.
And the way it was looking, Layla, it looked like that pins and needles feeling that I felt when I watched the first game. It was like, okay, when are the Cubs going to get something going? When are the Cubs going to get something going? The Andrew Kittredge portion of this, giving up the run early, kind of set the tone. But I was like, all right, they should be able to do something off of Dylan Cease. But nothing ever came. And it made me wonder, is this Cubs offense good enough? And when I say that, I mean, yes, they have guys who have been productive throughout the regular season. But when we talk about postseason, we talk about margins getting more and more narrow. And for this to be the way it goes down, where you score one run early and see that become a thing that you can't overcome to even get back even, it felt like a 3-run lead was a 10-run lead, basically, at the end of this game.
Well, and that's it, too, is that when it comes to what we saw, one double doesn't win you a ball game in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Like, I've watched the quad header both days this week. And you know what I saw a lot more of in every other game? Runs being scored by both teams. And that is how they got to this point. They were hitting well in April and May. We know what happened with the 500 record in June. It continued to be about like that when it came to the months of July and August and September. They did enough to get them there. There's no doubt about that. But we knew that this offense had its issues. It is being exposed. You know, they have the phrase built for October. I can't, like, the Padres went out there, and when they thought that they had enough in their bullpen, they got more. They got Mason Miller, and that is a good example of what we saw yesterday. Did you really build this thing for October? 1 double, 3 singles, no runs.
Well, the Cubs were certainly built for October in Game 1 when the bullpen paraded in and Craig Counsell looked great and you got the back-to-back homers from Seiya and Carson Kelly. So for that day, yeah, the Cubs did look like they were built for October. PCA, 0-for-6 in this series with 5 strikeouts. He has just not looked good at the plate. Ian Happ, 0-for-8 with 5 strikeouts as well, hitting third. And we could discuss the lineup a little bit later on. Kyle Tucker, who did have a single yesterday, or was it a double? He had a single, I think.
Single.
He is 1-for-7.
The only double was Seiya.
Right, and he kind of looks like he's on the backfields in training camp, just kind of trying to get back up to where he was. And maybe if we're just like doing the hope thing, that piece of hitting that he had late in the game yesterday for a single could lead into things. Maybe he's seeing the ball better because it doesn't usually start with home runs. It usually starts with a hard single when guys start to get back on track. And you mentioned, too, Marshall, the Andrew Kittredge thing. And he gives up the one run. And obviously, as an opener, you don't want him to give up anything because there's a method to the madness. But what was really upsetting about that, the Jackson Merrill sack fly, was the double steal that happened with Tatis leading the way. And you knew, like, Tatis has been doing this a lot this year, stealing third base. Turns out to be a double steal. That leads to, on a 2-2 count, which should be mentioned, like, that's pretty risky on the part of Tatis. But then Jackson Merrill gets the sack fly. And we know how beautiful the sack fly by Nico Horner was for the Cubs the other day. So they were feeling the same thing. Like, that's a beautiful thing that the Padres did early in that game against the Cubs.
I think the biggest thing for me was watching the game unfold the way it did. It said, oh, this is how the Cubs have been beating people all year long when they haven't had maybe the benefit of the long ball, right? There's no way that this Cubs team should be behind in stolen bases 2-0 when guys like Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, guys who are proven base stealers, have been getting on base. They just haven't pulled the trigger.
Well, and this is playoff baseball. You know, this is what we talk about. Yes, the 2 home runs back-to-back, they made the right adjustments against Nick Pivetta on Tuesday. There's no doubt about that. They took advantage of the one flaw in the starting pitcher. The bullpen remains expensive and the most crucial acquisition at a trade deadline because of what you just saw. when it works, not only does it work, it shuts it down. Like, Mason Miller looked unstoppable. Like, I don't even know how to describe that 104-mile-an-hour pitch he threw that just absolutely painted the corner and had perfect ride. His breaking ball. What, like, wasn't there a curve at 90? I don't understand these numbers.
Well, it's not even about the numbers themselves. It's you wouldn't even have to have the numbers pop up on the screen to see the visual effect of the reactions of the batters. The Carson Kelly one you're talking about, I don't know that I've ever seen a more perfect pitch ever delivered, because 104.5, hardest pitch ever thrown in the StatCast era, Major League Baseball
history. In the postseason.
Yeah, in the postseason. And it was dotted at the very corner of the strike zone. There was nothing Carson Kelly could do, but because he had seen sliders and fastballs at that point, and they're so different. It was frustrating to watch, but more frustrating is the understanding that he pitched back-to-back days, he went more than three batters in one of them, and he's still available today, according to Mike Schilt.
That's what they say.
That's it. When you're building a team, when you think you have enough, you get more. Jason Adam is down for them. We haven't even talked about him, and he was crucial in this. And that's the difference. You know, it's an attrition when you look at it on the part of how Andrew Kittredge was the opener in this. You're already admitting, if you're Craig Counsell, that your starter, Shota Imanaga, has flaws. You've already done that when you decided to throw Kittredge out there. Unfortunately, that still resulted in a run scored. Yeah, that's the other part of this.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And I want to take you guys back to the game last Thursday when we were actually in Wrigley against the Mets. That's when we were over at Old Crow. And that was the game where they lost by a final of 8-5. And let's go back to when Shota Imanaga was pitching in that game, because what did we see happen there? He left with Tyrone Taylor at the plate. He left Shota in too long. Taylor turns on a double. You know, and so you had a lesson even within the past week where you saw leaving him in for either a batter too long or knowing that he can give up a home run ball against a team that was practically a playoff team. That taught you a lesson right there. There were signs.
We wondered how quick the hook, how short the leash was going to be on Shota Imanaga. And I think in retrospect, we can all say it wasn't quick enough. The leash was too long. But just the fact that it's game two of a playoff series and that's what you're throwing out there, an opener, it goes back to me. I know it's a bigger picture thing, but hey, Cade Horton's not walking out that tunnel. Justin Steele's not walking out that tunnel. You mentioned April Shota Imanaga. First half, Shota Imanaga's not walking out of that tunnel. And it goes to show what you just said, Layla, about you get to the trade deadline and you make decisions. It feels like Craig Counsell, Jed Hoyer, the gang,
they had a very successful afternoon of thrifting at the trade deadline. Meanwhile, somebody said, let's go to the luxury stores and find the best we can get. And that's what Mason Miller is.
Well, they gave up the third best prospect hitting-wise in baseball in DeVries, Leo DeVries. And I remember when we talked about it, Marshall, at the deadline, that we thought that was probably the most statement-making trade there was. That statement just shows you how to win a ball game.
And the reason it was the biggest statement, Mark, you remember, because we were like, they gave up what? And you could talk about 2032 all you want, but clearly one of these teams on the record is about here and now. Luther Vandross style. Big Luther, not little Luther. Big Luther.
I love when you reference
Never too
music.
Much.
Never too much.
But that's the point. Never too much.
Never
when
enough.
When you think you have enough.
There's a song on Q101 that they play that's a Never Enough. So that's my reference to it. But hey, the good news is that the Cubs should, in theory, I would assume, Daniel Palencia is back and available today. Keller is back and available today. I don't know that Kittredge. Could Kittredge go? How many pitches did
Kit,
he throw?
Kit, apparently, as
Kit,
we found out.
Kit,
It is not Kitty, as we had hoped.
Like from Knight Rider.
Yes.
Old reference right there.
David Hasselhoff, stand up.
Still Michael. One of the hardest theme Michael. Songs.
Michael Knight. Da-da-da-da. You're right, it's too hard.
Meow.
But yeah, I did prefer Kitty because it just sounded ridiculous. But
you love a good ridiculous nickname.
I do love a good ridiculous nickname.
But that's the point. The closest thing you have to their guy is Daniel Palencia. So you probably see him today. But unfortunately, it didn't just come down to the one decision. Do all of them matter in a playoff game? Yes. But unfortunately, your team also couldn't hit worth a lick yesterday to score a run.
I know it's an old cliche, Mark, Layla. If you don't score any runs, you can't win the game.
That's true.
If you don't score any runs, you cannot win the game.
Robbie, write that down.
If you don't score runs, you can't win the game. And you're watching that game yesterday, and you're like, okay, when is going to be their opportunity to score a run? Now, this is before I knew that Mike Schilt was like, not only do we have all those guys you saw yesterday available, I'll stretch them out if I have to get to the end of this game. And that's exactly what he did after Dylan Cease.
The question is, did he waste all of his bullets yesterday? And that's really what it comes down to today. You know, that becomes the question. But Mason Miller, to me, looks like he's about 12. So I don't necessarily know that he's going to – what happens? He throws 103 today? Like, it's not 104 and a half? Like, excuse me.
Well, and Bob Suarez comes in for the four-out save.
Bob
so
Suarez.
Not Bob. He's not from the South Side, right?
Well.
Robert Suarez.
Yeah, I just automatically make Roberts Bob's. It just feels good.
It's what like Jose Mesa Hanks? Being
don't worry about Hanks.
It's like Jose Mesa being Joe Table. It's the same concept.
Well, by the way, Rob, I liked what just happened with the I'd like to condense the write that down. Just for now on, Robbie, when I say Robbie, you know that that's what I'm saying. Just write that down.
No, that's not enough.
Oh, you need me to say the write that down?
Yes.
Okay,
we
fair
need
enough.
Verbs and objects.
Okay.
Because also you could just be saying his name because you want him to be alerted to something.
He's alerted every time.
He's not Bob from the South Side. He's Bob from South America because Venezuela.
Right.
So, close enough, though.
It's
close
not
enough.
Inconceivable.
Bob Suarez threw it down yesterday.
Yeah, it's not inconceivable that a Bob Suarez could be living on the South Side
oh,
of
no.
Chicago.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Not by a long shot.
This segment, by the way, with Raheemy, Harris, and Grody, as we talk about the Cubs' shutout loss yesterday to the Padres.
They didn't score, Layla.
It's brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. They did not, so now we have to scrutinize everything.
There we are.
So let's listen to Craig Counsell talk about why he decided to stay with Shota Imanaga and considered, with first base open, whether or not he wanted to walk Manny Machado.
Look, the result suggested we should have done something different. Really just confidence in Shota. Plain and simple there. I thought he was pitching well. I thought he was throwing the ball really well. Unfortunately, he made a mistake.
Did you consider going to Soroka?
Yeah. We considered walking Machado, wasn't going to put Soroka in. Considered walking Machado.
Now, I thought that was interesting because Soroka was never an option in Craig Counsell's mind, right?
Understandable, if that's the case.
And if that's the case, it was just whether or not I walk this guy who has been a playoff monster, who is a future Hall of Famer by my estimation, in a big moment, in a big spot.
and I think you've got to choose your spots. I think Craig admits there that he chose wrong, but I want to know, why did he have so much faith in Shota Imanaga?
Well, and like I just said, the Mets loss last Thursday is a good indication of what happened when you leave him in a batter too long. And that was a whisper. Yesterday was a scream. You know, like, that's the other part of this. So when you've got the extra base open, you don't, there's no reward for the different ways you've gotten the Padres batters out if you don't advance.
I don't understand why he didn't stick with the model that he was successful with Matthew Boyd, that, you know, one out in the fifth inning, taking him out. And maybe it's because he just had more faith in what Palencia could do coming up against some of the heavies against San Diego. But why not? Why was Soroka not an option? To me, it would have been perfect, and I think everybody would have understood and everybody would have supported it, even if it had not worked yesterday. Because there are, as you guys just said, there are myriad reasons why you should get Shota the heck out of the game at that point. You've done enough. Let's get Soroka in here. Let's do it like you did it the other day. And I don't understand why, like, you could be so analytical one day and have an exact plan, and then all of a sudden you're going with your gut on this day, which I guess you have to leave that open for managers, because he's not the first manager that has used his gut. It just doesn't make sense relative to the last 48 hours.
I think for him, it was just about the number of outs. We talk about out getters. He had gotten 12 outs because Kittredge had started the game, so he thought he'd get one to two more outs before going to the bullpen and lengthening his bullpen in that manner.
I don't want to parse this, but the problem is your gut changes based on the information you have. It's just how much you trust that information. So it's just never really the case. You know, like, if you're good at it and if you understand your numbers, it's not just that. It's never just your gut. And it's never just the information. Not to parse it, not to get all really in the weeds on it, but just as an aside, like, of human nature. None of that takes away the fact that there was only one double hit by the Cubs and only four hits total in the game.
That's why they lost the game, because they couldn't hit. We told you it was going to take five runs. They didn't get any of them.
Not even 20% of them. Okay, so to class up the joint, we have brought in Curtis Granderson. He is a man who is no stranger to examining playoff baseball. He knows all the lives of a baseball player that they lead, especially this time of year. So we will talk to the Granny Man next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. A friendly reminder, too, by the way. We're going to take your calls in that segment after Curtis. 312-644-6767. Light them up if you need. Curtis is next on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.